Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We are studying in this Bible school about the life of Jesus. And we're in John chapter 2, where Jesus performed his first miracle at the wedding feast. And you'll want to turn to John chapter 2, and we'll read the first three verses, and then continue with that study that we had begun in a previous class. Now, while you're doing that, I will remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. Let me tell you something that characterizes the churches of Christ in Warren County, and that is you're going to see that they are an assembling, Bible studying, God worshiping, Christ honoring people. And so there's multiple occasions for us to gather together through the week and study our Bibles together. And when you see a parking lot filled with cars out in front of a little meeting house that says Church of Christ on the door, you can be assured that almost certainly they are in there worshiping God according to the New Testament pattern for worship, and opening their Bibles and reverently studying their Bibles that they might learn more about God and His will for us. And anytime you see that, you are welcome to come in and be part of that Bible study. Whether you're there early or whether you're there late, then you will be welcome. Now, at times we will use those meeting houses for other purposes when it doesn't interfere with the worship. There may be a wedding going on, or a funeral, or maybe we're simply gathered together to enjoy each other's company with a meal. But whenever you see us, you'll be welcomed inside. Someone will greet you, and you should learn and know more about the churches of Christ. It is a beautiful, wonderful, spiritual fellowship that we enjoy together. And we would have you enjoy that as well. Now, in our Bible study today, Jesus is at a wedding feast. It's not being held in a meeting house where people assemble to worship, but it's being held in the customs of his day in the home, probably the father's home or the home of the groom, either of the groom or of his father. And we read about this in John chapter 2. Let me read the first three verses. It says, "And on the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus also was bidden, and his disciples to the marriage. And when the wine failed, the mother of Jesus said unto him, They have no wine." Let's look at the Sunday school lesson notes that we have from E.A. Elam for the Sunday Schools of August 10th, 1924. It says here that the wine had failed. Well, for some reason the wine gave out, and just why, we do not know. It has been supposed that it was because the family was in humble circumstances and there were more guests than were expected at first. The servants mentioned in John chapter 2 and verse 5 suggested that the family was in comfortable circumstances. Some have supposed that Jesus and his disciples were invited after the arrangements for the feast was made. Some say that none but those who know how sacred in the feast is the duty of lavish hospitality and how passionately the obligation to exercise it to the utmost is felt can realize the gloom which this incident would have thrown over the occasion, or the misery and mortification which it would have caused to the wedded pair. The wine had failed, and that this failure furnished Jesus an occasion to perform this miracle and manifest his glory, as we're going to read about in John chapter 2 and verse 11, where it says, "This beginning of his signs did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and the disciples believed on him." Well, Jesus then had a conversation with his mother. The mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Why did Mary appeal to Jesus? Her solicitude is explained upon the ground that she was a friend or a relative or felt somewhat responsible for the success of the feast. It has been suggested that she felt that Jesus and his disciples were responsible to some extent for this failure. She knew Jesus and believed that he could relieve the difficulty. From her direction to the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." In verse 5, it seems that she believed he could perform a miracle. And so in verse 4, Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." Well, in our language, these words may seem harsh and lacking in respect. But in the language Jesus used, the expression "woman" was most respectful. Queens were so addressed. We have a respectful way to address women down here in the South in our country. I was always taught to, in addressing a woman, to call her ma'am. And that's not an insult. That is something that we say out of respect for her. And so that is why Jesus is respecting his mother when he calls her a woman. Thus, Jesus addressed his mother from the cross in John chapter 19 and verse 27. And so also he addressed Mary Magdalene after his resurrection in John 20 verses 13 and 15. And so the use of that word "woman," it's not a word like, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" But rather very respectfully, he says, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" Well, that is an expression frequently found in the Bible. By looking out the following references, we could obtain some idea of its meaning. It seems to have been explained by others as, "Leave me to myself. Let me follow my own course." Jesus is Mary's son, of the seed of David, but even more, he is the Son of God. And while he was David's son, David, in the Spirit, called him Lord, Matthew 22:41-44. While he was not disrespectful and disobedient to his mother, he would teach her that he is more than her son. He said on another occasion, when his mother and brethren sought him with an endeavor to control his actions, "Who is my mother, and who are my brethren?" And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, "Behold my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother." Matthew 12 verses 48-50. And so Jesus said to his mother, "Mine hour is not yet come." Well, what does Jesus mean by his hour? This is a special time in Jesus' history, called by himself and his John his time, or his hour. Jesus said to his brethren in John 7 in verses 6-8, "My time is not yet come." At the feast, the Jews sought to take him, and no man laid his hands on him because his hour was not yet come. John 7 and verse 30, and also John 8 and verse 20. A few days before his crucifixion, Jesus said at Jerusalem, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour." John 12, verse 23 and 27. John 17 and verse 1. "Father, the hour is come." The hour above all. The supreme hour for which Jesus came into the world was that hour when he redeemed the race and glorified God by his death on the cross. This having been accomplished, God exalted him to glory at his own right hand. Every word Jesus spoke in condemnation of sin, and every miracle he performed excited the jealousy and intensified the hatred of the Jews until their jealousy and hatred culminated in his death on the cross. Jesus knew that at the beginning of his public ministry and his first miracle started him out on his death march to the cross. He did not work a miracle simply to supply a feast with wine. Some say that this expression in this verse means that the hour to begin his public ministry and to manifest his glory, John 2 and verse 11, had not come. But the above explanation seems to be the true meaning. And so we come to verse 5. In John chapter 2 and verse 5, his mother said to the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." This shows that his mother knew that he meant no disrespect in his answer, and that she expected him to relieve the difficulty to which she had called his attention. Now in John chapter 2 and verse 6, we read that there were 6 water pots of stone set there after the Jews' manner of purifying, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. 6 water pots of stone. Now, a firkin was a measure of 7 or 8 gallons. One jar, then, would contain 15 to 25 gallons. If one jar contained about 20 gallons, the 6 jars would contain 120 gallons. Some estimate these jars as containing more than this. After the manner of the Jews in purifying, the text says, the Jews had many washings of purification, and much water was necessary. They would wash their hands before eating, and their cups, and their pots, and their brazen vessels as religious ceremonies. We read about that in Mark chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. Also, as the guest arrived, their feet would be bathed, and they did not have running water that they could simply turn on the way they do. They would have these big pots that would be filled with water, and I guess a couple of men could carry these pots into the house, and there they would have this reservoir of water that they would use for these various washings and these various needs that they would have. Well, Jesus directed the servants to fill those water pots with water, and they filled them to the brim. We read in John 2 and verse 7, Jesus said unto them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them to the brim. The question has been raised, why did Jesus make so much wine? The pure and wholesome wine of that country was quite different from the fiery, intoxicating wines of the saloons of our times, and large quantities could be drunk without intoxication. Palestine was a wine-producing country, and wine was the beverage of the people. While Jesus may not have turned all this water into wine, he made a sufficient quantity to supply the needs of the feast and perhaps more. When he fed the 5,000, 12 baskets full of food were taken up, and the water pots having been filled with water, Jesus directed his disciples to draw out now and bear to the ruler of the feast. It was put in water. It was drawn out wine. And the ruler of the feast was the one selected to superintend the marriage and to preserve the order. He first drank of the wine according to the custom and found it was better, which probably means it was sweeter and fresher than any other wine that they had at that feast.